oxygen. Merry Christmas. Good to see everybody here. And out in Zoom country, well, there you are, right there. I don't know how many are on today, but it's good to have everybody together this Sunday before Christmas. Noël. That is the French word for Christmas. La fête de Noël is the celebration of Christmas in English, la fête de Noël. And so I grew up with the word Noël as the main celebration word for Christmas up in Montreal in Canada. So, Martha, when you sang it, I became a kid. Thank you. It was beautiful. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 11. We're going to have a look at Christmas from a different perspective this morning. We're not going to just segment the Christmas story out, although we're going to look at it. But we can't take a look at the beginning of the story without at least addressing the end of the story when it comes to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to then take some of those comments and we're going to connect them to the Old Testament. In fact, the third chapter of Genesis. It's important for us to see the magnitude of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished when he came as a person. So if we look at Luke chapter 11, and this is the account where this woman was announcing and blessing the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 27. And the Lord responds this way. He says in verse 29, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign,' or they look for a sign, 'and there shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man be to this generation.'" I find that to be a very interesting analogy because the Lord is saying, you know, when it comes to the Son of Man, we have to recognize that the only sign was the same sign that was given to the Ninevites when Jonah was visiting them. And what was that sign? It was the word that Jonah spoke, and it was his person traveling through that large city that was 3 days' journey to get through, that he was a person. And so he's saying, by the same token, take a look at my life. Because there's not going to be any sign other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word spoken. And I would like to then take a look at that from our perspective. Let's spend a little time and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to take a look at some of the statements that are made of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can recognize him more as to who he is and the magnitude of what he accomplished as the Savior to the world. You know, I've gone to the airport at times and told to pick somebody up who I've never met before. And that's a challenge. You go to LaGuardia, go up to JFK or Newark, wherever you go. And I can remember going to pick up a student who is arriving from India to go to Emmaus Bible College. He's there now. His name is Stephen Powati Sam. So I thought, well, this is going to be easy. I'll just recognize this Indian as he gets off the plane. Well, the plane arrived from India, and guess what? There was a whole slew of kids, and they were all coming to college in various areas of the country, and one of them was Stephen. And so I had to really concentrate. And he was looking for me at the same time. We had never met before. And when he got off the plane and came to the arrival area, it was almost as if it was automatic that I saw his eyes, saw the smile on his face. He recognized me, and there was an instant connection, even though we didn't know who we were. And I trust that as we look at these verses, we can recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, not by describing what his physical attributes are, but let's recognize him as the person, that beautiful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to die for our sins. And so let's take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to spend some time looking at Philippians chapter 2, because we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the characteristics of what he displayed when he came into this world. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read some verses together. Now, I am going to take them out of context a little bit, but I think it describes some of the characteristics of the Lord that would help us to recognize him as a person and what he accomplished for us. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, identifying Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're going to stop there. If we take a look at the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, all of these statements that are made in Philippians are absolutely true as it relates to him in his birth and his life. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, we need to remember that it says in Matthew chapter 1, I think in verse 27 or 8, it says his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And I've thought about that process, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it just becomes more amazing every time I think about it, that God decided that he would be with us and chose to arrive through the birth of a baby. We need to understand too that when that baby was born, it was a new body, but the actual Jesus Christ was in that body and never had a beginning. I've laid in my bed at times and I thought, how far back does that go? And I've stopped counting sheep. I've just started thinking about that, because eventually you just fall asleep, because you'll never be able to plumb the depths of how great God is, because he never had a beginning. And so when this baby arrived in the world, he arrived as one who had no beginning. He chose to take the form of a servant. And he chose to become in the likeness of men. He chose to be of no reputation. And we find that when the shepherds were told, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And they went and they found exactly as it was so. And also when it came to the wise men, it says they got there. When they came to the house, it says they saw him, and they bowed down and they worshiped him and presented him with gifts. And so when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, let's recognize this one fact, that he came with no fanfare. There was no sign. There was no announcement publicly, except to the shepherds by the angels. And so he arrived quietly. He arrived quietly with no reputation. He arrived as a servant, somebody who had no status in the world at that time. And on top of it, he came in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, I'd like to just go and take a look at some verses in Genesis to bring some emphasis to the fact that the Lord had no reputation and what it meant for him to choose to be born into this world through childbirth. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And this is the point in time where Adam and Eve had sinned and they got caught. And after being caught, God was pronouncing punishment on the devil. He pronounced punishment on Eve, and then he pronounced punishment on Adam. And I think it's remarkable to see that those punishments related to the Lord Jesus Christ from birth to death. And I like to just look at them this way. Verse 14, God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And I believe that has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ dying at the cross of Calvary. The Lord's heel was bruised, but the head of the serpent was taken out. The Lord Jesus Christ won at the cross of Calvary. The devil was defeated. Then he goes on and he says in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Well, that was the punishment that was given to Eve at that time. I want to focus on the childbirth. God said that in childbirth, the woman will experience extreme pain. Now I'm a man. And I will never, ever, ever say publicly that I understand anything that has to do with childbirth. But having been there for the birth of my children, I understand what these verses mean. Children are born in extreme pain because this was the punishment that was meted out to Eve back in the Garden of Eden. And so when I take a look at these verses and I take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord could have come any way he wanted. He could have come from heaven with a flash of lightning and all kinds of pomp and circumstance as the King of the Jews with a crown on his head and says, here I am. But he chose to take the process of childbirth that was the punishment of the woman. And he came humbly into this world, a child born through that process that was of extreme pain. And I believe that in so doing, the Lord connected him to the process of eradicating the curse that was meted out to this world starting with his birth. Because when we go back to Matthew, the instructions were given to Joseph of that time that said, Joseph, you're to call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. How is it that he was going to save his people from their sins? By going to the cross of Calvary and taking on the punishment for sin and being made the curse against sin at the cross of Calvary. And so right from birth, he was introduced into this world that way. And so we have those verses that said he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He was the humblest man all the way through his life. And we don't have time to go through all the different aspects of his life. But we do know that as he went through his life, he was persecuted, he was accused, he was hated all the way through his life. And I believe he did that. Why? Because the reason was he went to the cross for you and for me. I'd like to just take a look now at the next segment in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself, this is in verse 8, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came with the express purpose of not only going to the cross of Calvary, but to be able to do everything that God the Father asked him to do in perfection. He was obedient. And so he was able to say to his disciples, I think it's in John chapter 4, that when they brought him food and he really didn't, you know, he was hungered, but he said a very telling verse. He says to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it." So he came with the objective of not just coming to the world, but to be able to do everything that he was asked to do in this world, asked of by his Father, and to finish the work. And I think it's so amazing that the last words that the Lord spoke on the cross of Calvary was, "It is finished." He was able to say to his Father, "It's done. The question of sin is dealt with. And now the folks that I came to can have salvation through what has been accomplished at the cross of Calvary." But I'd like to just go back to Genesis chapter 3 again and take a look at how the curse affected the Lord Jesus Christ right to the end of his life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 again. Genesis chapter 3. And now we're going to take a look at the punishment against Adam. Verse 17. "And unto Adam," he said, God said, "because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it." And here's the verse. "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field in the sweat of your face." God pronounced a curse on this earth. And when you read those verses, I've often wondered myself, did thorns really exist before the curse? We do know they existed after the curse. And it was a sign of the curse. And so we come to the end of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says in Philippians chapter 2, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What is the significance of the cross? In the Old Testament, it says, "Cursed who's anyone who hangs on a tree." And so the Lord Jesus Christ not only hangs on a tree, but we find all those people that are against him around that time, what do? They plait a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. And when I watch that in my mind's eye, that crown of thorns being placed on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do I see? I see the curse of the earth, the thorns placed on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, in those 3 hours of darkness, God punished the Lord Jesus Christ for the curse of the earth. You know, we often hear that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, and that's absolutely true. I believe that God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to take the punishment for your sins and mine at the cross of Calvary. How that was accomplished in 3 hours, we'll never know. But I also know it went a lot further than just my sins and your sins. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "He was made sin for us who knew no sin." Why? "So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, God was made sin. He was made that very curse, and God punished him for it. You know, when you have a weed that grows in the ground, if you just cut the top off the weed, it just gets bigger. How do you get rid of the weed? You dig up the root, and you get rid of it, and preferably burn it. And so I believe that at the cross of Calvary in those 3 hours of darkness, God made the Lord Jesus to be sin in its very root. He was punished for it. And that's why sin has been eradicated. Now we have skirmishes with the devil, but he was defeated at the cross of Calvary. And so as we look at the birth of Christ here, what do we see? He chose to become a human being. He chose to be entered into this world in the form of a man, as a baby. He chose that process of pain and suffering through the childbirth of a woman. And then he grew up. And all through his life was characterized by dealing with the process of the curse and sin, culminating at the cross of Calvary in those 3 hours of darkness. And what was that culmination? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus accomplished at the cross of Calvary in those 3 hours of darkness, to the extent where he was able to look up at his Father and say, it's finished, it's done. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that. Is that the end of the story? No. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. I want to stop there for a second. Matthew chapter 1 talks about the instructions that were given to Joseph and Mary. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he was born, Emmanuel, God with us. And the point that I'm making here, it says that God has exalted him above everything and given him a name which is above every name. And what is that name? It's the name of Jesus. And it's interesting that in Philippians, it doesn't say that in that verse as Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. Now, the next verse ascribes a little differently. But in this verse, it says, every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. And when I think of those shepherds going into that barn, and there he is laying in a manger, and they see Jesus. And the wise men going into that house. I don't know what that house looked like. Obviously, it wasn't a palace. But they went in, and they saw him, and they worshiped him. And I trust that as we recognize the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be attracted to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And also, it goes on to say, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Lord has been given a name which is above every name, and every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Lord, whether they know him or not. And so as we look at these qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to just summarize it this way. That the Lord Jesus Christ chose to come into this world as a human. He chose that punishment process against the woman to enter into this world. And there he was. He grew up a humble man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to the extent that God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. We have such a wonderful Savior. I'm going to stop early because I just want to have these comments permeate and sink in so that we recognize how amazing our Savior is. How amazing this time of year is when we recognize the birth of the Lord Jesus. But as we spend time celebrating his birth, let's also recognize the reason and the process and the culmination of his life at the cross of Calvary, culminating ultimately in his resurrection from the dead, where he's at high in heaven right now, and he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, as we have in Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ is amazing. He's my Savior. I trust that he's your Savior. And even as Christians, let's recognize the human being, that perfect human being to which we have a relationship as we remember his birth this year. Let's just thank him together. Merry Christmas. Father, thank you for the time that we are able to spend this morning thinking back to the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you chose to arrive here through a process that is miraculous, but it's painful. Lord, you chose that. You chose to be that perfect man that grew up. And Lord Jesus, obedient to your Father, you went to the cross of Calvary and took the punishment for our sins. Lord, when we think about your prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if this cup should pass from me, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, you submitted to that. We're so thankful that you went to the cross of Calvary and took the punishment for our sins. And Lord, help us to always recognize that you are faced with the curse right up until the end. And help us to understand that when that crown of thorns was placed on your head, the punishment for the curse against this world was placed upon your head. And in those 3 hours of darkness, you died. Or you took the punishment for our sins. Could say, it is finished, and you died. And rose again. Lord Jesus, you're wonderful. Help us to recognize the beautiful person you are as we celebrate this Christmas season. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.